All right, I'm really excited for this next guest here, extended content, as we talk a little bit further on chapter two, Stay in Your Lane. Brendan Allen Barrett, you want to introduce yourself? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, well, these days I am a manager of sales development for Virtuous, which is a CRM that caters to nonprofit organizations that, you know, have donor relationships to manage. You know, in the past, I've sold everything from foam that lifts buildings and roadways that are sinking into the ground to different types of software and professional services. So, I'm stoked to talk about outbound sales from having that perspective, both in management and as an individual contributor.
Oh, that's fantastic. Foam that lifts bridges and streets. That sounds like a fun product.
it was, so, yeah.
So you probably know, specifically with that product, you probably know a thing too about why this chapter might be important. But, you know, how Indeed. Did you find the book in the first place, and what really stood out to you from chapter two when you came across it a couple years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just running in the same. I think I probably ran into Rex somewhere along the line because I ended up having him on my podcast, The Business of Family and Selling, years ago. And yeah, I mean, when it comes to, you know, staying in your lane, right? Like, it's a huge differentiator between your average sales rep who will pitch anybody and the top performers who are super selfish with their time. Right? Like that has been one of the major points of differentiation between those two types of reps that you'll find on a sales team, right? Whether it's an inside sales team or outside sales team, right? Like your product, right? It's not going to be the perfect fit for everyone. Like going to that, you know, foam that lifts buildings and roadways, right? I was trained to sell that to homeowners who, you know, had a slab that was, you know, sinking in their backyard, right? In Southern California, or their home was settling, right? And, you know, those would be $50,000, $60,000 projects. And, you know, for some of those folks, they were $100,000 upside down in their, you know, in their mortgage, right? So to pitch them that project, try to get them finance on it was like just crazy. But for municipalities, departments of transportation, counties who had major infrastructure, right? I could sell to them many times over. So, you know, the 10, 20 calls it took to get that first meeting was a lot more worthwhile because I could make a lot more money on the back end. You know, come to today, you know, where I'm leading a sales development team, you know, we're not selling to normal businesses. We're selling to nonprofit organizations, and not just nonprofits who, you know, operate as a nonprofit, but specifically like they're out seeking donations from individual donors and large organizations, right? And so if they're just getting their funding from, you know, grants, right, or government funding, like they're not a good fit for us. And it would be a total waste of our time to go through 2, 3, 4 demos with the various decision makers on that committee to get a no decision. It would be a waste of everybody's time. So yeah, I mean, staying in your lane, it's, I mean, if you want to, you know, not just hit your number, but blow it out of the water, right? Like get hyper-focused on people who are ultra qualified and prioritize them in your outreach.
You make it sound so simple. So why do you think people struggle with this? I mean, it's, you know, we're talking about the fundamentals here and mm-hmm. people that are just getting started. You know, what is your take on why people struggle so much with that simple topic? And that's the reason why this is number two, by the way, right? First, it's solve a problem. Yeah. Number two is make sure that problem serves the right people mm-hmm. right now. Right. And mm-hmm. for all the reasons you said, but why do people struggle with this so much?
Well, because when people show a level of interest, it's exciting, right? Like, oh, I just made 50 calls and nobody has, you know, 5 people have hung up on me. This guy is actually like guy or gal is actually staying on the phone. There's an element of interest. But like I said, like if you don't spend the time to qualify them, right. And ensure that like, they're worth the time to put through this process. You lose all of that time that could be spent serving your ideal customer, right? Or pursuing your ideal customer. But I mean, the reason that it's hard is it's hard to say no, right? There's a glimmer of interest, right? And a lot of people who aren't qualified, like, they will be interested, but that, you know, if they're not qualified, their interest is, it's a lot of, most often not enough to get them across the finish line. And so all that time spent is for nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, if there was a way or a tip or a tactic that, you know, you've used in the past, especially early on, to think about this, because mm-hmm. I mean, to this day, I still struggle with this sometimes.
Sure.
You know, I get to a point where, you know, I'm running my process and I've got an idea, right? I know the types of accounts, I know the roles or titles. There's obviously a lot of other things that I learn quickly, mm-hmm. Around just the individual's personality, mm-hmm. The use cases, even if they kind of look like it, but they don't have the right cultural, like internal mm-hmm. cultural things, mm-hmm. You know, market conditions like this. But are there any things that you've identified that might help someone trying to figure this out, where they're, you know, they maybe be told to do a bunch of activities, right? And they have metrics that they're being accountable to that are mm-hmm. maybe not revenue at the end of the day in their pocket. Do you have any tips someone could take action on today that might benefit them to stick to this fundamental principle?
I mean, going back to the why, like if you're a full funnel rep, right? Like you're going from first touch to done business, like analyze those deals that are getting closed, right? Find out the similarities, right? If you have call recordings to refer to, like listen to all the calls, you know, in order, figure out what happened, why, you know, and then maybe, you know, listen to some calls that you thought were very similar, but deals that didn't get done. Right? Oh. Like why didn't they get done? What was the hangup? Was it timing? Was it, you know, that use case that is outside of the norm? Like, you know, management does need to be, you know, need to guide, especially new sales reps, on what an ideal, what the swim lane is. Right. And they need to help keep reps in that swim lane. But I mean, it really comes down to asking the right questions. And again, if you've seen those deals materialize, actually get across the finish line versus ones who seem very similar but then didn't, like all of a sudden those questions start to become very obvious, right? Yeah. And why, like, or that deal that was super exciting, oh, we think we have a new use case, and then it fell apart. Why did it fall apart? Right? Like you're not a product person. The product or the service has already been created. You know, if you're a brand new sales rep, like you probably don't have any influence on that product, right? And so it's your job not to, you know, try to solve problems that your product isn't built to solve, but to find the opportunities in which it can.
So that was so good. I think that the first piece is someone new. That's like the table stakes stuff that, I mean, that's well said, like first things first. And I would call it the beachhead strategy. Like you want to find your swim lane quickly and learn what's working. Go find the ones that are working, right? Best deals, mm-hmm. best reps, whatever it is. And like mimic that, right? What's the look and feel? Looks like mm-hmm. a duck, smell, walks through the fire, like a duck, probably a duck type of thing.
Yeah.
But the other part, which I think is, that's how you separate yourself from I'm getting better. Maybe I'm even a top performer to like in the super, like, I think, yeah. You know, Mike Weinberg calls them like the ultra performer, super ultra mm-hmm. performer, like they're the best of the best.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You go and pay attention to the ones that are not working out. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more of those. And if you want to avoid that, a lot more of those happening in the future, mm-hmm. you got to understand that autopsy, you learn so much more on what didn't work than yeah. you do with what did. And I think that right there is the tip of the day, man. That's huge. So mm-hmm. thank you for sharing your insights here. Really appreciate the fact that you've been such a fan. You're supporting still to this day, bringing people to the book. If folks wanted to reach out to you, you know, how would they get in touch with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Brendan Allen Barrett on LinkedIn, or, you know, I've got a ton of my own content and lessons learned on sales and sales development at startinphoenix.com. So startinphx.com.
That's fantastic. And if you're Google searching Brendan Barrett, it's not the MMA fighter. It's Brendan Allen Barrett. So, you know, although, you know, if you took the shirt off, you'd probably be about the same. I don't know. So thank you so much again for participating. And, you know, I'm looking forward to continuing our relationship. All the best.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.